It has been a week for me. I was preparing for two trials that starts tomorrow. A lot has been going on, and well, my brothers and sisters, the devastation of Helene across Florida, Georgia, and North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia, I thought about that, and it impacted me, and it continues to impact human lives across this country. The storm was so devastating that comments were made such as, "It looks like a nuclear bomb went off," said Mr. Bobbitt, who has military and first aid experience and stayed behind to help. I didn't even know how to conceive of something so powerful. Ryan Cole, the Assistant Director for Emergency Services in Buncombe County, which includes Asheville, and he called the storm the most significant natural disaster that any of us has ever seen in Western North Carolina. So in fact, in North Carolina, as of this past Friday evening, when I last looked at it, the death toll was 72, with still over 200 still missing. The devastation has impacted hundreds of thousands of lives in North Carolina alone. No power, no drinking water, damaged roads, damaged bridges, and entire towns just wiped out. And my brothers and sisters, the road to recovery will take years. And the lives impacted will be impacted for years to come. And for some reason, I thought that maybe that this devastation and impact has not permeated us in a way that causes us or calls us to action. Because you see, we have not been impacted by what has occurred in a direct sense. But in an emotional sense, we have been impacted. And I believe that from the impact that some of us were just trying to figure out, when was someone gonna talk about it? And I don't know, but over the years from high school to from elementary school to high school to college to graduate school to law school, I always wonder why it is that I was always the one that had to say something. And I finally determined that God has called me to say something. And people always wondered, well, what, you're not afraid. I might be afraid, but it's in me and I got to get it out of me. And so fear takes a back seat when God has put something in you. Amen. Authority takes a back seat when God has put something in you. And so my brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but as I pondered over the devastation and devastation that I saw and the lives impact, that my heart was troubled. There was something about this storm and its devastation that caused me to reflect on God. And maybe there are those of you here under the sound of my voice on this Sunday morning was impacted as well. I don't know. And it's not that I have not seen natural disasters before, as I grew up on the coast of North Carolina and encountered many hurricanes and flooding. But there was something about Helene that was just different. Maybe it was because of the photographs and videos showing the massive power of water as it destroyed roads, as it swept away trees, as it swept away homes, as it swept away bridges, and as it swept away human beings in such a sudden and fast way. I don't know. I was in a state of mixed emotions. In awe on the one hand, and perplexed and confused on the other. In awe of the power of nature, but perplexed and confused about God allowing it to happen. Is there anyone in the house this morning that felt in awe, but also perplexed and just a little bit confused about God allowing it to happen? Oh, I wish I had some honest people with me on this Sunday morning, because I'm going to take my time. And so, my brothers and sisters, if we are honest with ourselves, in the wake of loss and disaster, we struggle, don't we, to understand how a God who is all-powerful and all-knowing, but he can also be considered and is good and loving. Pastor and teacher Dr. Erwin Lutzer tackles this tough subject head on in a book called Where Was God? So contrary to popular belief, God is love. And because God is love, God does not cause natural disasters. He could prevent them, but he chooses in his providence to allow natural disasters to happen. So, my brothers and sisters, God is involved in natural disasters. You know, throughout the beginning of biblical times, he caused the plagues in Egypt. He sent the flood during the time of Noah. And with Jonah, he sent a great wind that caused a storm in the sea. God is involved in natural disasters. And my brothers and sisters, he was involved in Helene. In fact, God is involved in every devastating event or occurrence in our lives. And I know it's difficult for some of us to believe that, but God is involved. Because why? Because God is sovereign. And God decides what to allow happen and what not to allow happen. So, my brothers and sisters, God is involved. You know, and the bottom line is that we give Satan too much power. But God is always is the one who allows things to happen. So, in our text, and that's why I'm in this text, we find Job. And it's interesting to me that Job, in verse 1, is declared blameless and upright and feared God and shunned evil. That's interesting to me, because before the chapter gets out of first gear, the possibility that Job's suffering might be punishment or discipline is thrown out the door. It's already thrown out the door. And he is declared blameless and upright. Job was not guilty of anything. Job had not done anything contrary to God. So the sufferings that follow are not because Job was guilty or had done something. He had done something, but nothing like you think about. It was because of his devotion to God that Job became what my daughter calls a test subject. It was because of his righteousness that he was selected to suffer. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. And I don't know how many times I've heard some of us say that he or she must have done something. Otherwise, why is he or she going through so much? And they need to get right with God. I know somebody has said it. Amen. And if I hadn't said it, I probably have said it. I was at least thinking about it. Amen. So let me be the first one to say that the suffering from Helene was not because somebody did something wrong. My brothers and sisters, it happened because we live in a fallen world. What do you mean? When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in Eden, and man fell into sin, at that very moment in time, not only was man and woman cursed, but all of nature was cursed. If you don't believe me, read Genesis 3:17 through 18. And since that time, evil has been rampant and people have suffered only because God allowed it to happen. Amen? And so as I move on in verse 6, look what happens. Satan shows up and he appears before God. And as always, he is always moving to and fro to see whose lives he can disrupt. He's always moving to see what he can steal. He's always moving to see who he can kill. And he's always moving to see who he can destroy by distracting them from their relationship with God and their God-given purpose. But unbeknownst to Job, God chooses Job for the test. Because God says, there is no one like him on earth. Isn't that what he says? So Satan, with the permission of God, challenges the validity of Job's devotion to God. And God, in his providence, allowed Satan access to Job to do as he pleases, except at this moment he could not put a hand on Job. My, 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 my. And you know the story that followed. One of the most devastating days in a human being's life occurred. In verses 13 through 15, the Sabians killed all of his servants. In verse 16, fire fell from the heavens and killed his sheep and his servants. In verse 17, the Chaldeans stole his camels and killed his servants. In verses 18 and 19, the most devastating, his sons and daughters were drinking wine and feasting at the oldest brother's house when a mighty wind swept in from the desert, struck the four corners of the house, collapsing the house and killing his 10 children. You see, my brothers and sisters, nature's calamity struck Job. It struck by fire in verse 17. It struck by wind in verses 18 and 19. And physical calamity struck twice through the Sabians and the Chaldeans. And it is important to note that although all of this happened to Job in succession, and in one single day, he was still oblivious to the fact that God was involved in these physical and natural disasters that resulted in he and his wife losing everything they had and having 10 graves on the hilltop. So, my brothers and sisters, God was intimately involved in Job's experience with the physical and natural disasters that caused the death of his servants, the loss of his property, and the death of his 10 children. My, 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 my. And I come here to remind all of us that even though devastation comes into our lives, don't you think for one minute that God is nowhere to be found. God is always intimately involved in what's going on in your and my life. Even in the midst of devastation and natural disasters, you see, my God, he knows everything. That is, he is omniscient. He is everywhere. And that is, he is omnipresent. So there is nothing that happens to you or to me that God does not know about or that God is not in the midst of. We should always remember his promise that he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And Acts 17, 27 through 28 says he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. So God reminds us in this text of the uncertainty of life. So he reminds us through Job's experiences that life is uncertain. In fact, we can even say that life is temporary and that none of us have any control, as much as we like to have, quote, control about what goes on in our lives. In fact, that I dare say that some of us have missed blessings because we were in so much control, amen, and not follow the will of God. So this text reminds us of the uncertainty of life. And so, brothers and sisters, it's interesting that Job had no idea that he would wake up one day and lose everything he had. And not just lose it, but lose it all in one day. He would wake up, and on the same day, Sabians would kill his servant. Fire would consume his sheep and servants. The Chaldeans would steal his camels and kill his servants. And a natural disaster would kill his 7 boys and 3 girls. And I can imagine that Job never thought that when he went to sleep the night before, that he would wake up to the horror of this one day. So the Bible reminds us that life is uncertain. None of us know what will happen tomorrow. In fact, none of us know what will happen the rest of this day. And James 4 and 14 reminds us that we do not know what will happen tomorrow. So life is full of uncertainty. If certainty is what you are after, well, let me tell you this about certainty. It is certain that one day you will die. It is certain that Christ will come again. So my brothers and sisters, that's the only certainty that I can tell you about, that I know about. And that is God will send his son back to us again. And the word tells us that it is appointed time unto man to die. And it's also certain that I can tell you that God loves you. Amen? So that's all I can tell you that's certain. So in verse 20, after Job had heard the devastating news, Job got up, he tore his robe and shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground in worship. So the very first thing Job did when he heard the news, according to this scripture, is tore his robe, shaved his head, and worshiped God. And I don't know about you, but this intrigues me because this sounds like trust to me. Maybe Job, through his devotion to God, understood that devastation could occur, or maybe he was not aware that such devastation could occur, but there was one thing that he did know. That God could be trusted regardless of the devastation he was experiencing. And so he knew that God could be trusted even in the midst of the devastation. In spite of the devastation, Job did not lose his faith or his integrity, and he maintained his trust in God, even when it looked like God was not on his side. And so, getting the news, he broke out into worship in verse 21. And it's interesting because his worship showed his devotion. And he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away." And he looks what he finishes up with, "May the name of the Lord be praised." Sounds like trust to me. Sounds like Job understood that he may have had a lot of stuff, but the stuff didn't matter because God gave, and it was God who could take away. Amen. And that's why it's sometimes difficult for me to understand how people get devastated about their stuff, but then not trust God. The same God who gave is the same God who takes away, and the same God who takes away is the same God that can give. Amen? So anybody here ever trusted God when it looked like God was not on your side? Unexpected death, but you trusted God. An unexpected health emergency, but you trusted God. An unexpected catastrophe, but trusted God. Helene, but trusted God. So is there anybody here willing to trust God even when it don't look like God is on your side? Anybody here willing to trust God instead of leaning on your own wisdom, leaning on your own knowledge, and on your own intellect? Because you see, my brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means trusting God through everything, and lean not to thine own understanding. Then in words, don't try to figure it out. Just trust God. But I understand that I know it's difficult to stay in a place and be inappreciated. But what? Trust God. It's not my understanding, but God's understanding. I know it's difficult to continue living with the person sitting next to you, but it's not my understanding, but God's understanding. Instead of listening to yourself, my brothers and sisters, your friends, or anyone else, always remember that God is in it, and you need to hold on to your faith and don't let go. And I'm about finished. I came here to give a quick word and to get out of your way because y'all get distracted so easy. So I don't want you to forget this very important message from God. And so now as I'm about to take my seat, I know that's when y'all get happy, amen? I know that's when you get happy. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but always remember, I don't care what devastation you have going on in your life. I don't care what trouble you have going on in your life. Always remember that God is in it. You just need to trust him, hold on, and don't let go until he, the all-powerful God, shows up or tells you to let go. Oh, I wish I had a witness in this house who looked like everything was turned upside down, but you held on and trusted God until God said, "Don't let go." And so, my brothers and sisters, I'm about to go because I wish I had at least two of you in this place who admit that you've had some things going on in your life right now and will admit that your human response says go, but the God response says stay. And my brothers and sisters, Richard Smallwood in his Hold On, Don't Let Go says, your trials come to what? To make you strong. Seasons will change. It won't be long. Hold on. Don't let go. Even though your heart hurts you so, he'll never let go of your hand. And if that ain't enough for you, I believe it was the Israel New Breed that said, it's not over when God is in it. It's not over. It's not finished. It's not ending. It's only the beginning. When God is in it, all things are new. God is in it. He's in it. He's in it. He's in it. In your family troubles, God is in it. He's in it. He's in it. I heard a woman tell me, say, "You preach so simple." I say, simplicity is the best way to a person's mind. We want to get off into all this other stuff, and we forget about God and the power that he has. That's as simple as anything you ever need to know. Following God is not complex. It is not all confusion. And you don't have to run around the building and bang your head against the wall. Just read God's word, trust it, believe in it, and if nothing else fails, just trust God until your change comes. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. It is my intention to preach so simple that a gnat can understand it. Because that's the way I'm trained. I'm trained to teach and preach to the least of them. That's what I'm trained to do. In the legal profession, I speak to the least of them. Because that's what I'm trained to do. Because it does no good to speak over people's heads. And they may have shouted, they may have done a lot of things, but go home empty. If you get nothing else from this sermon, trust God. Hold on and don't let go. That's all you need. And that'll carry you from here to eternity. Amen. So it's interesting, and as I close out, Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. What? About what? Everything. Then tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. In other words, a lot of us pray for what we need, but we forget to tell God, thank you for what you've done. If you can't tell me, thank me for what I've done, why do I want to listen to what you need? You know, God has feelings too. He has feelings too. And the Bible tells us, right, at that time, that's when you will experience God's peace.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay's Arena, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.